This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Out of the box.
Let's go to Vince. He wants to talk about throwing outside of the box. He wants to talk about throwing it outside. Vince in the city, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Vince?
Just listening to Baldy, and talking about the congestion over the middle of the field, which is where most of the pass plays seem to be directed. It makes a lot of sense that nothing's open because guys can't get open. Plus, you're running them right into the other defenders. So you asked earlier, what do the Niners need to do on offense to start getting better? And, you know, it is attacking the flats in that middle out route.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
But we see it with Brock on these deep throws. He just might not have the arm strength to really get it there. I've noticed over watching when he does get connect on those out routes, he's throwing it before the guy's already starting his break because it takes that much time for the ball to get to that spot.
Mm.
You see these deep routes where he's open on these go routes like to Cowling. You know, if he could have had like maybe a few more yards on that ball, he's to the house instead of having to stop and then he gets tackled and it's over. I remember calling it even before the UCL injury. There was a play action pass. It was like the first season that he was actually playing. There's a deep play action pass where he threw it to BA down the left sideline. I'll never forget it. It was a great throw, but if it was the same thing, if he could have let him just a little bit more, that probably would have been a house call instead of getting tackled at the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be the issue. And Kyle may have been covering it up, you know, with running everything over the middle. I mean, he kills it over the middle. If George Kittle's running down the seam or he's attacking the middle of the field, that's a mismatch. But with the receiver, I don't see it as much. I see him usually airing the ball. Debo's had to climb the ladder multiple times. Juwan Jennings has to climb the ladder multiple times. Mm-hmm. And they kind of take big hits over the middle, which is where he likes to throw it. But I don't know. If we need a quarterback who might be able to get it outside. I'm not saying Brock is not the guy.
Right.
I don't know if he's the guy. But I'm not saying.
Vince, you make some very, very good points. Maybe he just doesn't have the arm strength to get those throws there. Maybe he doesn't have the arm strength to get the ball deep down the field. You know, we heard some beat writers talk about he has no weaknesses. Well, I saw him not lead Kittle and Cowling on a deep route.
No weaknesses?
No. I mean, he underthrew those passes. You don't underthrow those passes, maybe you get 14 points instead of 3. Because think about it. He hit Cowling deep. You're down 21-12, but you end up throwing an interception. You hit Kittle deep, but guess what? You had to settle for 3. So... Vince is maybe on it. He's throwing the outrides with the anticipation. Not,
Listen,
the arm strength is something. I focus on that arm strength a little bit. It's not all the way there. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the world.
He doesn't. And that's not the end all be all, because he has shown that his mind and his accuracy can get you damn near a Super Bowl trophy. So we understand all that. Now, that was with Christian McCaffrey. That's with the healthy wide receiver. That's with a lot of help around him. Everything was perfect last year. You heard Steve Young talk about it when he was on with Jim Rome. We played the sound. Hey, everything was perfect last year.
Perfect.
All right? Everything's not perfect this year. This is when you pay a quarterback, and this is what you expect. You expect some wins when everything's not going perfect around you. Look at Patrick Mahomes. Guy got $500 million. I'd say he's more than lived up to that contract.
Yeah, I think he may be worth a billion.
Yeah, right? Like, that's how impressive he is. I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying he's ever going to be Patrick Mahomes. Brock Purdy has been a very, very good quarterback. He was an MVP candidate in his first full season in the NFL. All we are discussing here on this show and all season long is if he is the dude going forward. And the notion that we can't even discuss that anymore. There's people thinking that we can't talk about.
You know what, Spadoni?
He's already set in stone. He's the future.
Can I say this? I don't give a damn. I don't really give a damn anymore about what people think about, because I've walked back and said this, and I felt the heat with the whole Burrow conversation. The hell with that. I'm going to assess my quarterback the same way I assess Trey Lance, the same way I assess Jimmy Garoppolo, the same way I assess Jeff Garcia, Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick. The list goes on and on. Brock Purdy's a quarterback of an iconic franchise that's had two of the greatest quarterbacks ever play in this uniform, with Steve Young and Joe Montana. You want to talk about, go back to Frankie Albert? Go back to Frankie Albert. Want to go to John Brady? Go to John Brady. I don't care. I'm going to assess the quarterback from what I see. And what I saw on Sunday was an atrocious performance. The first interception. What the hell did you see? Kittle wasn't even open anyway. And just the reason, I'm coming over the top. This is easy money. Easy money. The player, Ronnie Bell, immediately Shanahan said, no, that was on Brock. That was on Brock. When everybody was ready, because everybody's scared to criticize Brock, so let's go ahead and blame Ronnie Bell. Easy whippy boy to blame, right?
It was a hell of a play for Ronnie Bell. You heard it from Baldy. He had created tremendous separation.
First down. Boom. 14-12. You're getting into the field goal range. So I don't want to hear this stuff about you can't criticize Brock Purdy. If we're thinking about making this guy the franchise guy and giving him over $200 million, then we need to see something. We need to see it. You can't just be great when you got great players around you. You need to be great when the chips are down. We saw it with all the great quarterbacks in the past. When you don't have your playmakers, how can you manufacture points with your offense? And that's what we want to see. So if we're going to be talking about, hell, this guy gets 60 and this guy gets, to hell with that. We can criticize. We can have constructive criticism. We give Purdy credit when credit is due. And damn it, when he doesn't play well, we're going to talk about it. So ain't nobody afraid to not talk about it when Purdy does not play well. He didn't play well. It is what it is. What you want us to sugarcoat it? I'm not here to do a sugarcoat job. Come on.
Do you still got faith in Brock, though, Bonte? You got faith that he can turn this thing around and elevate the talent around him?
He's a good quarterback.
Okay.
He's a good quarterback. But is he a great quarterback? I don't know yet. Here's what Baldy had to say about his performance against the Chiefs.
I don't understand the interception to Ronnie Bell. Like, I don't know. Like, it looked to me like Ronnie ran the wrong route. But yet Kyle and Purdy both said that he just sailed the ball. But, like, he wins on the route. He comes back to the ball. He gets separation. But the ball is, I don't know where he's throwing. He doesn't have an occluded obstruction, on his face or anything. He's got great protection. It looks like a routine throw to the sidelines, and he sails it on Ronnie Bell. That didn't make sense, but you're right. The go route to Kittle, he gets behind Justin Reed, and, it should be a walk-in touchdown. And he underthrows it, and so it's just a big chunk, but it's not a touchdown. Same thing to Callum. So, like, he looked off from the very beginning. I haven't really seen him play like that. Now, I think I've seen every one of his games and watched and studied everyone, but I haven't seen him, like, they just looked flat as a group, but he's got to be the leader.
So that's on his performance. All right. Now, here's what Tom Brady whispered to Baldy before the game. What's his thoughts on Brock Purdy? What does he think? That's what Baldy said.
He thinks he's got some restrictions with his arm. He's got some restrictions with his size. Okay. You're at 6'1". You're not going to have the view that Brady had at 6'6". With an over-the-top release. He likes his ability to move. He likes his ability to process. But, you know, the arm's never going to probably get stronger. He does have good instincts. As far as he was telling me a story about, I asked him, like, can you coach pocket awareness? He's like, absolutely not. He goes, either you have that or you don't. I think he's got that. You know, his physical prowess, he's not going to get any faster. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get any taller. His arm's probably not going to get a lot stronger. So that's what you have to work with. And so there's some limitations. Like, Mahomes never has to worry about his arm. You know, when he's 40, he's going to be able to gunsling that thing right. In any direction. Like, he's not gifted like that, but he does have a pocket awareness the way Patrick does. You know, and he probably doesn't have the stick accuracy on the move to make every single throw when it calls for that, like the way we've seen Mahomes do for 8 years.
So that's balding on what Brady told him about Brock Purdy and how he feels about Brock Purdy. So now I'm thinking, when we talk about the lack of separation, because we're going to take the calls here, we're going to get to Al, San Diego, and Tony in Santa Rosa. We got more Baldy sound here, Spadoni. But with the receivers' lack of separation and with the vanilla play calling, what we feel like is vanilla play calling from Kyle Shanahan, maybe it's not so much on Brock. Maybe Shanahan needs to get a little more creative and put Brock in better situations to succeed. What do you think about that?
It's definitely the conversation, right? Is it Shanahan or is it Purdy? You're going to have people split on the subject, but it seems more like it's 70-30 with the fan base right now, just judging from the callers and texters. It's a lot of heat on Kyle Shanahan because this is his baby. He's the architect. He doesn't want his quarterback audibling. He thinks he has the answers to the tests. Mm-hmm. And we're going to stick with our guy because you know what? He's got us so damn close multiple times. He knows more right than he knows wrong. Mm. But this is where it gets a little tricky now because you don't have Christian McCaffrey. You don't have Brandon Ayuk. You're not going to have Deebo Samuel, who's fighting a pneumonia. We'll see with Juwan Jennings. You got George Kittle, but you got a lot of guys right now. Let's see what you got, Shanahan, because you know what? You moved heaven and earth to go get Trey Lance, and you pivoted off him real quick for this guy named Brock Purdy. Right. And I get it. He came on the scene, didn't lose a game, got you the NFC Championship, freak injury, he was out, and then in his first full season, he was an MVP. You looked like a genius because he was Mr. Irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that comes the burden of expectation. And the expectation is now that you are so smart with your play calling that you could hide the deficiencies of everything around you. Because he's been able to do that at times with the offensive line, right, Bonte? Yep. We talked about this ad nauseum. Oh, man, he's just, you know, he doesn't need to draft guys in the first round. Why? He can find guys in the second or third round or the fourth round and mix and match, and he can have them sit for a year. Like, he got lucky with Dominic Pooney this year. I'm not going to say lucky because he drafted him high, and he's ended up being a pretty good pick, all right? But, you know, he's gone through that over the years, and he's been able to hide that. I don't know if you can hide wide receiver deficiencies.
That's
there's one thing with an offensive line, but with the wide receivers, you're going to have to see your quarterback be put in situations where he's going to have to trust dudes that he doesn't want to have to trust.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to build that trust quickly. Mm-hmm. And I'm just very curious how this is going to look going forward.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a Shanahan blame game? Is it going to be a Brock blame game? Because it should be tied at the hip though, right?
Yeah, no, we're going to do the Shanahan blame game and Purdy blame game. Right now, I'm looking at Shanahan saying, how can you be the creative mind that we all think you are? You know, you've been labeled a genius. You've been labeled boy wonder.
He's going to have to earn that.
As Guru says, Jedi. Well, you know what? Can you create and scheme open these guys? Can you scheme open Pearsall? Can you scheme open Juwan Jennings? Can you make some plays for Jacob Cowie? Can you make something happen for Jacob Cowie? He's going to have to play. And that speed should not be on the bench. Jacob Cowie has elite speed. The way he got deep, get this guy on the edges. Get him on the perimeter. Jet sweep something, reverses. I don't care. But Shanahan, for one, Spadone, he's got to get more creative. There's no doubt about it. And Purdy has to take advantage of it. This is Purdy's time now more than ever to say, this is my damn team. There's no doubt about it. Pay me my money because I am the guy.
And this is where you better start hitting on your draft picks, Kyle Shanahan, because you know what? You've whiffed a lot.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.